I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. And I'm live here from Brașov, Romania. And it'll be kind of an interesting program, I think, in store for you this evening. For those who have been ET Yoga listeners for a long time, of course, you know, I'll try to have this program jam-packed with information and things that you can follow up on after. And we'll be talking about some of those important things in life, like who we are, where we came from, our history, our current predicament on the planet. Probably have some time to touch upon some interesting comments concerning white powder gold as well. But before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner, which is where we do a little bit of Japa Yoga. And Japa Yoga is a little bit of mantra repetition. Kind of sets the foundation for the program. It's also a very powerful technique. For those of you who are too busy to do regular meditations, you can always listen to an ET Yoga program and play back the program and do a little Japa Yoga. So this one's led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. It's a Hari Om mantra. And if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that'd be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari. Shanti.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda leading us in a little Japa Yoga. And Japa Yoga was one of the six branches of the integral yoga that Sri Swami Satchidananda brought to North America. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And I usually follow that statement up by also stating that I totally applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible. And that's with respect to you working towards your own independence and self-sovereignty concerning creating your own excellent health and also providing natural means and ways to maintain that. And in preparing for tonight's program, I guess one of the things that always comes to mind is my appreciation and gratitude to the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you. And as Bashar would say, you're already making the maximum difference just by being you. But others sometimes become aware of the difference you're making when you do your passion. And I'd also like to give my special thanks to those people who do take time to email me concerning suggestions for program content and also sharing with me successes that you've had with information, concepts, techniques that you heard on this program. And nothing that makes my day more than to hear about those successes. And you can email me at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And also, I also appreciate the support of ET Yoga listeners, especially those who've been around for a long time. If you like the ET Yoga program, probably like my book, ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond. It's available from my website at etyoga.com. It's $9.95. Much appreciate your support. It's kind of like 10 books in one. I jam a lot of information into one book and had really nice feedback from those people that have purchased that product. So I much appreciate that. In preparing for tonight's program, I'm over here in Brașov, Romania, and a couple of things came just obvious to mind. While driving here, and that's the total difference in driving habits between Americans and Europeans that live in Romania. And unfortunately, one of the things I noticed about the American driving, and I live in Orlando, Florida, is you don't see the people texting so much. You don't see the people having problems when the light changes. How often this occurs in Orlando is mind-blowing. Even kept track once of coming to a stop light where there were lots of cars lined up, and I actually did a count, and it took 18 seconds for my car to move after the light turned green. And I noticed the same thing here when I'm in similar traffic, and as soon as the light turns, everybody's car immediately starts moving. Which to me logically makes sense. When I'm looking at reasons for that, I can't help but think that some of this is due to some of these not so good influences that we've been exposed to, specifically with respect to pill taking from the pharmaceutical companies and also the fluoridation in the water. And if you're not aware, fluoride is a toxic substance, and it calcifies the pineal gland. Pineal gland being very, very important. And even for those of us who are working on changing our beliefs, there's an aspect of the pineal gland that functions kind of like putting a rubber stamp on beliefs, especially when you're trying to stretch yourself outside of your normal box, let's say, and you're going outside the box to develop a belief or manifest something that's a little bit not along the lines of the norm or what you've been conditioned to believe, and helps to have a very good and operating pineal gland. And Hararatanmanik, and that's M-A-N-E-K. He's a guy that I always recommend people to listen to or watch videos of concerning sun gazing. And he was a subject of some experimentation from the NASA, actually, with respect to his phenomenal results with respect to his pineal gland. And his is about five times larger than normal. This is something that most people don't seem to become or be aware of, kind of oblivious to this calcification of the pineal. And primary cause of that is fluoride in the water. And that's another reason why Pleiadians and everybody else pretty much recommends, if at all humanly possible, get away from that stuff and get into drinking some pure water. The other aspect there being, as Barbara Marciniak would say, that it's harder and harder these days to be born in a healthy body and harder to leave here with your brain intact. With respect to this gigantic increase in Alzheimer's, and every so often I'm talking to people in casual conversation, and it comes up about their some medical condition they have and how many pills a day they're taking. And I'm coming up with an average of people taking like 8 to 10 pills. I mean, to me, this is just outrageous. It's just, these pills destroy your liver. They destroying the connections in the neurosynapse in the brain. Over the long period of time, this is really a concerning issue. And I want to pass that on to ET Yoga audience. And I'm sure if you're a longtime listener, you know that I do appreciate some of the amazing things that the doctors can do in terms of emergencies. But in terms of the day-to-day procedures that are used on the average people, I am just in 180 degrees different direction. And I'd like to remind our listeners that in Beijing, China, there was a Qigong center there that dealt with over 250,000 patients over a 10-year period with an 85% success rate. And if you look it up on the internet, it's called the world's first medicineless hospital. And that is the Qigong Center in Beijing, China. And they use have no operations and use no pharmaceuticals to achieve that success rate. So, you know, this is, to me, when people start talking about going down a healthy path, this is advanced healing. And that's why I got involved with Qigong sound healing from Master Ming Tong Gu, that's G-U. And he was one of the practitioners there at that particular Beijing center. Dr. Pang was the head guy, and Ming Tong Gu was probably, you know, kind of next in that pecking order. Amazing results. And just as a brief note, I also recommend to the listeners to check out Greg Braden, B-R-A-D-E-N, Greg Braden, Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes, the video, because that'll show you what's really possible. And I might add that I guess it's the May 20th and June 3rd archive programs of ET Yoga is my 2 hours of everything I've learned and condensed into those 2 hour programs concerning health over the years. So if you're really interested in that topic, that's where to go. And also I kind of like to mention that a lot of times people are asking questions concerning this concept about higher self and self-realization. Well, to me, that's most of the people that are listening as ET Yoga listeners. I'm sure that that's your journey, that you're working on a spiritual journey. You're working on achieving self-realization. And, of course, you got to have to know of the concept before you can work towards attaining that goal. And certainly back in the 60s, they used to call it self-search. And if people didn't know what you're talking about, or, you know, it didn't matter. It wasn't like you needed to make a judgment on them, because everybody's at a different stage in their evolutionary process. And to my way of thinking, all life is consciousness, and all consciousness is moving towards expansion. And so I guess when you're starting out about what life is about, well, to me, that's what it's about. It's about self-realization. And if you don't know the concept, then that means that the seed hasn't been planted. And your higher self exists just outside the space-time continuum. And it's like the higher self breaks off a portion of itself, and sometimes multiple portions, to create multiple incarnations. And we are spiritual beings experiencing a physical incarnation. And in my way of thinking, what gives rise to some people being more aware of that idea about self realization or higher self is because what I call the planting of the seed. The planting of the seed is when a person becomes aware of the fact that there are higher levels of consciousness and that you have an ability to attain them. Baba Ram Dass, in his Be Here Now book, would say that is the concept of the true baptism. That's what a baptism really is. And what makes a person kind of ready to experience that realization, I think it's kind of comes from two different things: a certain amount of falling away of worldliness, and also a certain amount of sincerity attracts you to the proper information. And as well as in talking with other people that have come to that realization, I think your higher self also kind of sets you up and prepares you for that. And at a certain point in time, sometimes can even make sure you have that realization. And with respect to this idea of falling away of worldliness, it's kind of like the concept that if you're seeking to find total happiness from the outside, and you keep chasing after things and after things and after things, eventually you will come to the realization that that's not going to do it. Like, the only way you can go is to go inside. And when you go inside, that's the direction, as they say in the ancient texts, the true knowledge is inside. It's called self-knowledge and knowledge of the higher self. And this is, to me, a process that a lot of people are just oblivious of. In fact, most people are not aware that they even have a higher self. And this concept was actually, there was a disconnect just after the fall of Atlantis. And apparently the Atlanteans had conscious awareness of their higher selves. But after that particular break, and also I think that's also kind of a link as well with fourth dimensional awareness, because Atlantis was more of was the Earth at that time was more fourth dimensional. It's now, and back in the Lemurian times, I understand it was like fifth dimensional, kind of moved down, and now it's moving back up. And this moving back up, we're starting to go into like fourth and fifth dimensional Earth. Frequencies are rising here. And this is a really good thing for us, I think. More and more people are starting to tune into a lot of these concepts. However, there's clearly a demarcation line around people who are going to be stuck in third density. And part of that comes from this point, that your thoughts, beliefs, definitions, emotions create your outer reality. if you can't come to that conclusion and you don't think that's so, then you're going to be one of those people that's going to be stuck in third dimension, because that is the demarcation line. And certainly things like concept of self-realization pretty much, I think, goes hand in hand with coming to those conclusions. And so in terms of where we're at and what life's about, to me, you know, it's about self-realization, the awareness that the only thing that's going to satisfy the mind is to know itself. That's the bottom line. And what's our predicament here on the planet? Well, part of the predicament is that those who have been in control of this planet for a long time have tried to keep, for one thing, our extraterrestrial heritage a secret. That I touched upon where actually humanity came from was from Billy Meyer's book, UFO from the Pleiades. And in that book, there's some transcripts from his conversations with a being he calls Semjaze. And she informed him that actually the humans came from the Lyra and Vega star constellations. And struck me as true when I heard it. And then since that time, I've heard it from multiple sources, mostly ET sources, like such as the Andromedans. In fact, Alex Collier, an Andromedan contactee, was told that by the Andromedans that originally what happened was that the Alpha Draconians, when they first came across some of the human planets in the Lyra system, there was some kind of communication gaffe, and their first contacts were misunderstood as aggression. And the end result being that there were three planets totally destroyed by the Alpha Draconians. And it seems like in this universe, clearly the polarity seems to be between human types and reptilian. And Alpha Draconians have had a large part in controlling things on this planet. Between Anunnaki and Alpha Draconian, in my opinion, what would be the two main sources of influence that have been, created on electromagnetic frequency fence around the planet. They've kept the frequency here from expanding, and the consciousness from expanding, keeping us stuck in the two-stranded DNA for the most part. And this has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. And of course, for the most part, you know, people are, now are becoming more and more aware of the existence of extraterrestrials, which has led to more of the information exposure of these groups. And they also, via their influence and via those connected with them, are also controlling every aspect of society here, including the banking system, the religious system, the medical system, the dental system, the educational system, you know, even the political arena. So everything on the planet is basically, at some point or level, is being controlled. And as I understand it, some of the basics for some of this control have been eliminated, giving humans more of a level playing field, but still a lot of work to be done with respect to breaking free from some of these influences. Including the one where our DNA was manipulated, and we were intended to have a 12-strand DNA activated with our 12 chakra system, and it was an Anunnaki influence that we have our DNA intact, but it's kind of like a hairdryer that's not plugged in. And To my way of thinking, I used to, when I first became aware of higher levels of consciousness, I used to call this process of becoming self-realized or enlightened consciousness completion, because it's about reconnecting DNA. It's about connecting our DNA with our chakra system. And according to the Andromedans, our DNA is actually a combination of about 22 different DNA or extraterrestrial civilizations. So a lot of people have an interest in us. And according to Alex, Andromedans even consider humans as royalty because of our DNA. DNA seems to be the game among the extraterrestrials. And one of the things that, again, that I sometimes point out to the listening audience is my concern about some of this technology that's going on right now in our current predicament here on Earth about, you know, what life is about, where we're going, what's our extraterrestrial heritage. Well, the first planet that you incarnated on, that would be your star family. And I'm sure there are a lot of people on the planet right now whose star family is from the Pleiades or Sirian or Arcturian or Andromedan. I would say that, you know, like probably the bulk of our listening audience is probably from one of those four places. And according to Bashar, nobody's from here originally. So, you know, that gives you kind of a clue about things. But one of my concerns is about the effects of all this technology. And I'm going to remind people that back in, I guess, in the 1970s, Barbara Marciniak in Bringers of the Dawn, I'm going to give a quote here. "We recommend strongly you get rid of your television sets. They are the primary tool used to manipulate your consciousness on a day-to-day basis. And this experiment is so finely tuned that you respond subliminally to disease via the television." So there's an entire generation that is killing itself by watching television and supporting the medical society while they're doing it. Sometimes liberating information is broadcast, perhaps even a new age show. However, you may watch such a television show about how uplifted and unlimited you can be, while subliminally you are being hit with a frequency that keeps you from original thinking. This subliminal keeps you immobilized and holds you in a survive, arrive, be on time, be silent, go to work society. Television also promotes inactivity and a sedentary, obese life. Look around you. Wake up, humans. Most of the subliminals on television are done through technology that was developed in conjunction with off-planetary beings. The use of subliminals to upset human consciousness has become a worldwide program. If you think about the houses that have 2, 3, and 4 televisions in them, you must agree that this has been a very successful marketing program. Some people who know about the subliminals on television feel that they are immune to them. However, the effects of television are so permeating that no matter how clear you say you're going to be, you cannot counterbalance what the technology is presently doing to your vibrational frequency. As a matter of fact, if you really want to evolve, do not read your newspapers, do not listen to the radio, do not watch television. If you are able to be media-free for periods of time and you disengage yourself from the frequency of chaos and anxiety and stress, and hustle bustle and temptations of all kinds that you don't need, you begin to get clear and you begin to listen to what's going on inside of yourself and to live in the world and not necessarily be lost in it. You become clear. We cannot emphasize this enough. Electronics also jam your frequency. Plus, as we have said, many of them are designed to create static so that you will always stay at a certain vibratory rate, turning you into safe, harmless, inactive cattle. What about the computer? Well, the second most prominent piece of hardware in the United States is the computer. How many of you go to work on computers and end up getting headaches, particularly when you work for large corporations and are hooked up to their mainframe? Large companies are into aspects of mind control, and they use your minds to generate energy to achieve something for themselves. Personal computers are not as potent and powerful. And also from the Assyrians in Patricia Corey's book, No More Secrets, No More Lies, subliminal sound messages are overlaid into the audio of television commercials, imperceptible to the conscious but perceived at the subconscious level. They're also transmitted via the internet. You're just beginning to recognize the dark potential of such technology. We call upon you to use great discretion when approaching the internet. It is of great importance that you take the time to prepare yourself spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and to protect your energy fields whenever you enter this technology web. You can significantly alter the vibrational fields coming from your computers and entering others by willing that your thought and intention is to raise the intention of all conscious travelers moving along those wires. And you can say to yourself, as I enter here, I ask to be surrounded by white light, calling upon my spirit warriors to shield me from all vibrations that are not of the highest order, and asking that those unwelcome energies be bounced back to their sources as is appropriate to their evolutionary pace. I send my grounding cord into the below, dropping like an anchor deep within the body of the mother as I hook solidly to the earth. And as I embark upon this journey, I ask the light ones to guide the way, infusing the grid with the light strings of the universe. And also from the Pleiadians self-empowerment book by Barbara Marciniak, the media captures your attention and then programs your imagination, essentially canceling out your unique creative drive to manifest your own reality, as well as your desire to know yourself. You have been conditioned to believe that all you need to know can now be found in the wonderful world of electronic boxes and the information and entertainment they hold. When the news is slanted toward a message of continuous war, a state of despair, and a sense of hopelessness is created. A paralysis of power takes hold because you become convinced that the only reality is what is described and prescribed by the authorities in the box. Reality is created and produced by each and every one of you, and those seeking to control the world have kept this knowledge a well-guarded secret. And I would like to highly second those comments, and I try to do my part by not having television. Don't have one. Don't want one. I'd like to kind of move on to another interesting piece of information I came across that. I've talked many times on ET Yoga about the ultimate truth that we operate under. And this was information that originally came from a channeling from Gene Hatch of Mother Mary and the ultimate truths of reality. And one of her kind of side comments was someone had asked her, is there a recipe for humility? And I'd like to share that with our listening audience because I really think this one is it's the mark. It says, Mary's response. First, let us define the term humility as it means different things to different people, depending on what each has been taught or trained to think. Many erroneously believe that humility is equated with lowliness, or a lack of power, or as indicated by the word humiliation. The truth is, it is just the opposite. Humility is not a state of powerlessness or low self-esteem where one feels unequal to someone else. True humility is a very high state of consciousness, which has its source in service to others. When you shift your attitude to that of feeling honored to be allowed to serve someone or some cause, you have attained the first level of humility. Humility is achieved through process rather than by following a recipe. Actually, each of you have been in the process of attaining humility since the day you were born. Humility is the lesson and life is the teacher. Every challenge you have ever encountered throughout your life was an opportunity to learn humility. If you want to achieve humility, then look at your life now. Let yourself see all the situations you are currently in and all the people you are currently relating to, and then ask yourself, how can I best serve this situation or this person. Let go of your resistance to being there in that situation or with that person, and allow yourself to develop an appreciation for this opportunity to serve. Let go of your expectation of reward or receiving anything in return. Just give whatever is required, no matter how difficult that may be. Give without any strings attached or any attachment to the outcome. If you do this long enough, you will release an energy of love within yourself that will flow like a river, and you will come to the place in consciousness where you actually feel grateful that the situation or person allowed you to serve them. Your gratitude will arise out of the knowing. You will have that humility, and you will know that humility is the recipe for happiness, love, peace, and joy. And that's from the College of Christ Consciousness. And I know a lot of our listening audience, are aware of how important belief is, and at the base of ET yoga. And I guess if I'm going to give an ET yoga spin on, what life's about, self-realization, what's our extraterrestrial history? Well, it's from the Lyra system, the very first human. Humans were from there. Actually, there's some information from Jalila Star that's she's from the Nibiruian, I guess, council. And they actually, the Andromedans don't go back this far, but these guys seem to think that when this particular universe was created, that their prime creator brought in 48 people that were called carrions and felines. And according to their theory, the felines then interbred with a certain primate that was evolving at that time. And when they crossed their DNA, that's what led to the first humans from the feline line. And similarly, the carrions also, through the same process, combining with the primate at that time and mixing their consciousness and DNA, came up with the reptilians. And that, to them, was the very original source of that. Now, if we go to more recent times, like through Zechariah Sitchin and Bashar and a number of other people have also stated that as well as reinforced by the Sumerian tablet that was the Anunnaki, in fact, that also used a similar process with the primate at that time on our planet with higher DNA, gave us and created what we would know as Homo sapien, the current form of human. And that particular group at that time created us actually to be workers in mining gold. And that gold is a connection that I want to touch upon tonight, because many shows I've mentioned that I thought people should check out David Hudson. His lectures, one, two, and three, and also his Dallas lecture. And because to me, monatomics are, that's a subject nobody seems to talk about. And yet to me, I guess if I was reading, discoveries in the world, I think the discovery of monatomics is one of the greatest discoveries in the world. It's actually a rediscovery because it was around a couple thousand years ago for sure. And, that we know about, and also that it has so many implications towards amazing health. And to me, the highest forms of levels of health come from things like sun gazing and from Qigong, and also from information from the Children of the Sun. who do some very, very special meditations in their I Am Avatar program. And in the I Am Avatar program, you know, they do such things as cellular rejuvenation and meditations that create a perfect health scenario. And I highly, highly recommend that people have can get access to the I Am Avatar. That's a great great source of meditations, as well as the Solara on Ra, and that's Solara on Ra, ending in R A. She's a Pleiadian source. Her most recent updates on the Pleiadian Pillar of Light meditation, which is primarily centered around linking up and intending to link up your 12 strands of DNA with your 12 chakras. So to me, these are the highest levels of connecting and evolving in that way. However, I want to share with the audience, because I think it'll light your appetite to do some further research about David Hudson and monoatomics. And he says that you think my life was complicated. Here I am, a dirt farmer, and I have to learn chemistry. I have to learn physics. I have to learn about superconductivity. And now my uncle comes up to me with a paper, and he says, "Dave, read this book. I think you'll enjoy it." And I looked, and it's called The Secrets of the Alchemist. It's a Time Life series book. And it says, "What are you talking about, Caleb? I don't need to read that. That's about alchemy. That's the occult." And he says, "No, Dave, you need to read this book. And it talks about a white powder of gold." And this was the gold that the Anunnaki, who have mastered the use of, and why some of the Alpha Draconians and Anunnaki seem to have lifespans of like not only thousands of years, but apparently at the highest level, some of the millions of years. So I start reading the book. The Philosopher's Stone was a white powder of gold. The Philosopher's Stone was said to be the container of the light of life. And we took some calves' brains and some pigs' brains, and we did a destruction of the organic material and a metal analysis. And over 5% by dry matter weight of the calves' brains and the pigs' brains were rhodium and iridium in the high spin state. And nobody in medical research knows that. I found in the literature, and I'll show you those tomorrow, U.S. Naval Research Facility has confirmed superconductivity is the communication vehicle between cells in our body, but they don't know where the superconductivity comes from. It's like a stealth atom that no one can figure out what it is. And when you realize the Philosopher's Stone is the white powder of gold, then of course I have to find out, does it work? Does it really have the properties they attribute to it, which they claim that not only it will cure every disease known to man, they claim it's capable of changing the nature of man and making him into a different person. And he became interested in this alchemy, and because the white powder of gold was the alchemical substance, supposedly, he began to do all sorts of reading. And finally, aside from doing all the historical background on all this, he kind of wanted to know, like, you know, if this stuff really worked. And this is a quote directly from David Hudson. It says, "I'm not a doctor. My purpose in this is not to cure diseases and illness, but I did want to know, does it work? It's been used on Lou Gehrig's disease. It's been used on MS. It's been used on MD. It's been used on arthritis. It's been used on what else? That's all that's coming into mind right now. It just does some very remarkable things in the body. The most important thing that it does, and the real reason this is here, is not as a medicine. The reason this material is here is to enlighten and raise the consciousness of mankind. Now, if people don't understand that, I apologize, but that really is its purpose. And what we have done is that we've given it in high amounts to some people who have had nothing wrong with them medically, and we didn't know what to expect. So the very first man, he did a 42-day fast, which was pretty severe food fast. He went for 9 days with only water. He had a high colonic. And on the 10th day, we began to give him 500 milligrams a day of this material. Now, this was not gold. This was rhodium and iridium. And the reason we chose rhodium and iridium is because it naturally was in his body. It's an aloe vera gel. It's an ace mannan. It's in man olay. It's in carrot juice. It's in grape juice. It's in grapeseed extract. It's in slippery elm bark. It's in sheep sorrel. It's in many, many materials. And so it's totally natural. It's not a compound. It's not a drug. It's an elemental material. And it's like taking an iron pill, but these are the atoms that flow the light of life in your body. According to the ancient Egyptians, they said you have a physical body and you have to feed the physical body food so it can grow and become all that it's meant to be. And if you don't feed your material body, you die or you're very stunted. You don't grow and develop. You also have a light body, they said, and you must also feed it so it can grow and become what it's meant to be. And we haven't been feeding our light body because we haven't known what to feed it with. 500 milligrams a day for 30 days is called the Egyptian rite of passage. And so we had to find out, what does this do? And after 5 or 6 days of taking this material, this fellow began to hear this very high frequency sound. And every day the sound got louder and louder and louder and louder. And by the time he finished his fast, he says it's like loudspeakers in his brain literally roaring this sound. The same sound that many of the meditators have heard that you're told to listen for when you meditate to find this sound. But when you think about it, most people don't hear it anymore. Well, this sound is roaring in this man's head, and it's roaring day and night, and it's roaring when he's talking on the phone and when he's working. And I said, does this disturb you? Isn't this an irritating sound? And he said, no, not at all. It's just like a nectar because it doesn't come through the ears, he says. It's inside our brain. Now, it's hard for me to understand. It's hard for probably most of you to understand, he says. David, it's just nectar. It's something you just literally want to go within the sound and just let it exclude everything out of your life. Basically, at the end of the 42-day fast, he went back and took a body brush to get rid of the toxins in his body. And he went back eating normally. And he was eating white meat and vegetables. Well, he figured the sound would die down and go away, but it doesn't. The sound is still growing and getting louder and louder. And after 60 days, the dreams begin and revelations begin, and then the visions begin. And this is going to sound a little far-fetched to some of you, but there are light beings that come to this man and teach him. They never open their mouth, but they telepathically are communicating with him. And with the hope that I am not going to offend anyone, there's actually a female being that comes to him and has sex with him. And I don't understand this until I found in the ancient Vedic text it talks about this. And he says that the sound seems to originate about 8 inches above his head. It comes down into his brain. It's like a hat band around his head, and it roars in there. And I guess he said that later on in the process, it was like there was a column of light that came up through his body and came out the top of his head. And according to David, he says, I think the word that most people use for this is the Kundalini. So what we're kind of talking about here is that this whole idea of monatomics or high spin electrons, and there is a natural amounts that are found in many of our foods. And this iridium and rhodium and iridium are actually, they actually exist in flaxseed oil as well. And years and years ago, there was called the Budwig diet. It was a cancer cure that involved rhodium and cottage cheese. And I guess it used to work, but they didn't know why. Well, the reason it worked was because rhodium and iridium were in the flaxseed, and it contains monatomics. And to me, monatomics are a subject that I just wanted to whet the listener's appetite about, because this whole story that David Hudson's of how he developed it, it's an amazing, amazing story. And for those people who are kind of involved with doing things about how to reprogram old beliefs, I'd like to share with you also a process that you can use for reprogramming old beliefs. And first is that you need to acknowledge, or if you have a fear you're working on, you own the fear or whatever, or the pattern, if this whatever this belief is that you want to reprogram. And then ask yourself, what keeps me believing in that fear? and what will happen if I let it go? And what is the payoff for keeping it? Because the truth is, there always is one. What do I get to do or not do but keep the fear? And the truth is that a pattern of belief can never be changed as long as you really believe that change is more fearful than keeping it. Kind of like in smoking, when people say they might want to smoke, they want to try to quit smoking, but they kind of fear that certain things will happen, like maybe they'll be more nervous, or they'll be more hungry and eat more food. Or if they think that the giving up the pattern is going to create more problems, then you can't be successful with reprogramming it. So you need to decide if this pattern serves you anymore. Decide if you want to keep the program or change it. And if you decide to keep it, then observe why without judgment. Next, if you decide to change it, decide what you want to change it to. Be specific. You must decide on a new belief, a choice for a new perception. If you willingly choose to believe in a new reality, you can eliminate fear. State your intention, what you intend to create. So you say to yourself, I intend such and such. Your intention must include willingness to allow the change in your life. Then ask the spirit, your highest self, for guidance, and then release control of the manifestation of the intent to spirit. And at that point, you need to have some trust. Fears and erroneous beliefs have supported us, and we tend to want to hold on to them through our anger or other emotional reactions because it's the only way of life we've known. And fears can be survival tools that will keep us locked in a lower vibration that doesn't help our life in a positive way.
So I thought I'd want to share that technique with our listening audience, because I had some people write in and ask about changing old beliefs. Bashar, at Bashar.org, or through some of his materials, you can find some interesting other ways to change beliefs, especially core beliefs. At this point in time, I'd like to give my great thanks, gratitude, and appreciation to our listening audience, and also to wish each and every one of you success with your journey in attaining full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. I'd like to close the program now in the usual manner by sharing with you a powerful technique called the Who Am I technique. Originally came from Sri Ramana Maharshi and in his book, The Path of Self-Knowledge. And he used to give this technique to his closest disciples. And basically, you try to put your consciousness in the center of your forehead and become that spot. So the idea here being, get to the highest place you know how to get to through meditation or whatever other means, and then focus your attention, put your total consciousness in the center of your forehead, and become that spot. And then ask the question, who am I? And you can do that whatever feels comfortable, at whatever rate, like kind of like doing a mantra. You can do it slowly, rapidly, a couple of times, but with total focus and concentration. And then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.